Hey there, Nerd Clan. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, this episode of The Potterverse is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. And my suggestion to you is that if you are not following me on social media, Mary Larson, give me a little follow on Instagram, on Facebook, and search that hashtag MinuteWithMary because I share tons of tips and tricks when it comes to makeup, but more importantly right now, skincare. So make sure you search that hashtag MinuteWithMary. Give me a follow. And if you need anything, you can head on over to MinuteWithMary.com. From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film series of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and your time turners, and let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Hello, everybody, and welcome. My name's Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I am out. I am out on rotten salmon or rotten food. I'm just out on the death day party altogether.
Oh my God, because you want to know what I decided to read?
Yeah, yes, I do.
On the other side of the dungeon was a long table, also covered in black velvet. They approached it eagerly, but next moment had stopped in their tracks, horrified. The smell was quite disgusting. Large, rotten fish were laid on handsome silver platters. Cakes, burned charcoal black, were heaped on salvers. There was a great maggoty haggis, a slab of cheese covered in furry green mold, and in pride of place, an enormous gray cake in the shape of a tombstone. Harry watched amazed as a portly ghost approached the table, crouched low, walked through with it, with his mouth held wide, so it passed through one of the stinking salmon. Can you taste it if you walk through it? Harry asked him.
Almost,
said the ghost sadly as he drifted away.
Oh, what such a sad moment.
Almost. It's like Casper the Friendly Ghost, you know, and they're just like eating stuff and it just goes through them.
Yes.
But they seem to actually enjoy the tastes in that movie.
Oh man, it's funny.
Christina Ricci at her finest.
Oh man. So funny.
So this chapter is called The Death Day Party.
Yes.
And what's cool about chapter 8 is that a lot of it does not happen in the movie. So if you have not read or reread The Chamber of Secrets frequently, a lot of this was an absolute delight to see what it's like in the lives of ghosts. Mm-hmm. But something super duper important happens at the end of this chapter, of course. So before we delve into this podcast episode, we would love to remind you to make sure that you hit the subscribe button in your podcast app of choice. We would love it if you could leave us a review, particularly in iTunes. Just give us a 5-star review. What?
Can you say it in your ghost voice?
5-star review. Please.
Thanks.
It'll make us really happy.
Almost.
Especially if you like write something, I guess.
And as always, we love to remind you can head on over to maryandblake.com. If you've never checked out that website, please do. This fine fellow sitting across from me created it. It's a stunning website. And all of our other podcasts and blogs are there for your listening or reading pleasure.
Soon to be season 4 of The Crown.
I know.
And November 12th, I believe that is coming out. We will be doing that for jointhenerdclan.com, which I'm very excited about. So go there. If you want to support and if you find any value in what we do, go to jointhenerdclan.com. Become one of the official members of the Nerd Clan, join that community and all the cool perks that we got over there, including the Crown podcast and the Hamilton podcast and the Blake's Book Club and everything that we got going on over there. It's a lot of fun. We're going to be adding some more stuff to it soon.
We will.
I hope so. All right, Mom, are you ready to get into this podcast?
Always.
Let's do it. Good one.
Yeah.
Good one. All right, let's do it, shall we?
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Kicking things off with a little wee recap for you. So Harry has been doing Quidditch in all sorts of weather all morning long, and he's dripping wet, comes inside the castle, muddy. Filch gets upset, tries to have him get in trouble, and he brings him up to his office. While he's there, some situations happen. Nearly Headless Nick invites him to his death day party, where we have all sorts of unmerriment.
Unmerriment, good one.
And while they're leaving the death day party, which just so happens to be on Halloween, mm-hmm. they find a dead... frozen, I don't know, Mrs. Norris just chilling, hanging out.
Petrified.
Yeah.
There you go.
But I don't know if we know that as the word in this right now.
No, we don't know that as of this very moment. But yeah, she's frozen. She's frozen in time. Yes. She's like an icicle, a cat's.
After Harry heard, Ripperpod kill you, all these scary things happening.
Rip, tear.
Which is exactly what you want to hear when you're at a death day party.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay, Lumos is going to have to calm down. Lumos is a little aggressive with us right now.
It's okay. She loves me.
She wants some attention.
Loves me,
we've discovered that Lumos just is obsessed with Mama.
Yes.
Obsessed. Will not leave her alone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's a good cat.
She is.
Okay. So, what about this chapter stood out to you most, Marvin? What do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously, when you're looking for... major plot things, you're looking at Harry, like the last page, you know, Harry hearing the voice and then the trio finding Mrs. Norris. That, of course, stands out to us. But let's remove that and let's savor chapter 8 a little bit, because chapter 8 in the fandom is quite the controversial chapter.
Are you in or out?
I'm in.
I'm out.
I know you are.
Why do you think I'm out?
Because you're like, what's the point of this chapter? Where are we going? All that matters is the last page. This is just like
that's not
fluff.
True. That's not true. Well, I mean, I'm out on all the ghosts. I think I'm out on the ghosts. That's the thing. Though it does give us a little bit of an introduction to Myrtle. But before I get into why I'm out, why are you in?
Because it expands the Harry Potter universe.
Mm-hmm.
It expands the Potterverse, one may say. Mm-hmm. We learn more about ghosts in this universe, how they operate, how they're able to maneuver themselves around this castle, what it's like for these ghosts who inhabit it. I just find the ghost bit quite interesting. And I love holidays at Hogwarts. Yeah. And to know that this is a different way that they are celebrating Halloween is by celebrating Sir Nicholas's death day. I think what also is really interesting in this chapter are the breadcrumbs that are left out for
us.
Can
you do me a favor? Can you say it in my voice that you just did?
No.
No. Oh, it's such a waste.
Oh, that one. I'm like, which one? There are so many Blake Wine voices.
What are you talking about?
Blake.
What?
You're as emo as Order of the Phoenix.
Oh, that. I mean, I have been for the past number of days. I will admit, I will cop to that. I will absolutely cop
Listen,
to
man,
that.
I may be under the weather, but I am still chipper, more chipper than you. So, okay, we get things starting off. With Ginny Weasley, a lot of the kids at Hogwarts have a cold, so they have this like pepper stuff, this like pepper potion that
yes.
Madame Pomfrey is getting them,
mm-hmm.
Which is really cool because it makes your ears smoke. And so a lot of the kids are sick, and you know it looks like Ginny might be sick. Percy even like convinces her to take this pepper stuff. He's like, "Come on, little sis, you're looking a little peaky.
Yeah,
you gotta get this in." So I love that breadcrumb that once again Ginny's a little off.
Something is wrong with Ginny, and it's an early clue that she ain't right.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've gotten these throughout it, so I love it. We also get Peeves being in the vanishing cabinet, which is going to come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love it because that, to me, is an important breadcrumb. It's something that is just really fun. You know, as we got to see the vanishing cabinet earlier, and now we get to have fun with it again. We got
and
to
it's
see...
broken. It's broken in this chapter,
yes.
Which is a big deal.
Yes.
Which is why it has to get fixed later
yes.
on.
So there are things like that, that as you reread these books, you might, as a first-time reader... Blake, you might sit there and say, meh, okay, whatevs, but it's just these little things sprinkled in. We get a great introduction to seeing how a lot of these ghosts interact. Ghosts, of course, play a big part in the books.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Moaning Myrtle. We get to hang out with Moaning Myrtle.
Yep. Brittany here on Facebook says, you're as emo as the Order of the Phoenix. That is my the new shirt for this chapter, I think. So I think that's what we're gonna do.
Pepper up potion. Thank you, Tammy.
Yeah. So I like the early beginnings here that you mentioned, Mary, the vanishing cabinet and the stuff with Ginny. I think that's important stuff. Again, the author is doing this great thing where she's introducing these small things so that when you look back on it, you say, oh, wow, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Or you're already familiar with either the vanishing cabinet or something wrong. Something is off.
Yeah.
There's early clues, and I really like that. But one of the things that happens in this chapter that I really, 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 really like.
Is it Filch?
It's absolutely Filch.
Yes.
And this is why I'm not saying I'm out on the chapter.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying I'm out on the ghosts, because I don't care about the ghosts. Okay. The ghosts don't do nothing for me except for Myrtle. And even then, she don't do that much other than just, you know, like she just whines because she moans. But the Filch thing.
No.
the Filch thing. What happens with the Filch is important because Filch, up until this point, has been just a burdensome figure for the children.
Yeah, a thorn in your side.
And he's been like fun to laugh at a little bit. And he's been a little bit of a kicking post, I would say, for the book and for the students, especially the trio, as he is giving them detention, or he's part of their detention, giving them the Hagrid saying I was going to hang them from their feet and yada yada, and you kind of blow him off, and you don't understand why he's so mad, you don't understand why he's so angry
until now,
and it's about the quick spell, this book. A correspondence course in beginner's magic. Filch is a squib. He was born of wizard parents with no particular wizarding
abilities.
It's
like the opposite of a mudblood.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're both sad words.
Yeah.
Like squib isn't something that it's like a nice word.
And again, that's another one of the author's amazing like uses of phraseology, like just squib, something that is like supposed to explode but doesn't, and it's just a waste. It's a squib, you know, like it's. And I love that because you get an immediate correlation between the person and what you know as a real squib. Mm-hmm. It's an immediate connection. I really like that. And the advertising for a quick spell is genius. It's
give it to me, Blake.
It's like it reminds me of like do you remember the Ronco turkey maker or whatever it is, the turkey spinner?
No.
Set it and forget it.
I thought that was like the crock pot saying.
No. That's the Ronco turkey, the turkey guy.
Gunny, I don't know.
And he had a weird face. It was like
must
wax.
Have been on cable TV. Me with my poor person parfait watching the three channels.
It's poor people parfait. Get it right. It wasn't on cable. It was on regular TV, and it was on at like 3 a.m. And it was like
they would have
a huge audience in the studio.
Watching
be
a
like,
turkey,
he'd be like, "Set it," and the whole audience would go, "Forget it, yeah!" They'd all clap and everything, and you could see it's just turning, and the fat is just coming off, and you don't have to do anything about it. Anyway, so those of you who are watching or listening right now, tell me that you remember the Ronco turkey cookout, whatever it is. Anyway. Feel out of step in the world of the modern magic? Find yourself making excuses not to perform simple spells? Ever been taunted for your woeful wand work? There's an answer! Quick spells, an all-new, fail-safe, quick-result, easy-learn course. Hundreds of witches and wizards have benefited from the quick spell method. Madam Z. Nettles of Topsom writes, I had no memory of incantations, and my potions were a family joke. Now, after a quick spell course, I am the center of attention of parties and friends. Beg for the recipe of the scintillation solution.
Mm.
Warlock DJ Prod of Didsbury says,
what?
My wife used to sneer at my feeble charm.
Get it? Because his initials are DJ?
No.
You just said Warlock DJ Prod.
Yeah.
DJ. Like a turntable.
Oh.
That's why I went, wicka, wicka, what? The most hip musical DJ in the wizarding world.
Such a
Warlock DJ Pond.
No!
Edward!
Okay. My wife used to sneer at my feeble charms, but 1 month into your fabulous quick spell course, I succeeded in turning into her yak.
Yo!
Thank you, quick spell. Yeah, dog. Here's my dad, Donkey Doug. There is a good place reference for you guys. It's Donkey Doug.
All right.
So I really love this. Neville
Longbottom own this book?
Oh, that's a good question.
You know, this is the kind of book that reminds me back when I was 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. I remember ordering a book through like 17 magazine or something, and it was like How to Get Boys to Notice You. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that was the title of it. And you had to spend like $7.98 or whatever, and they intended for you to send a check. But I didn't want to ask my parents for a check for this, like, to notice you. So I, like, counted out change and put dollar bills and change in an envelope and mailed it. And I got this book. And I was, like, embarrassed about it because I was like, oh, my gosh, I really want to read these secrets of, like, how to get boys to notice me. And I was so embarrassed about it that I would hide the book under my bed.
You're such a dork.
The most important thing I took out of that book was look at boys in the eye. Thanks,
really?
Book.
Yeah, that is not a great... You know, but I will cop to one thing. I will cop to one thing.
What?
I read Cosmopolitan.
Okay.
To try to figure out girls. Because I had two sisters, so they had Cosmos. You know, it was in the bathroom. It was next to the toilet. And you figure, hey, you know, you go to the bathroom. You got nothing else to
read. Thank God we don't have any more of that anymore. People just read on their phones, which is even more gross to know that your phone's like chilling out with you while you're chilling out.
Your phone's red flagged. It's like that Seinfeld episode. That book's been red flagged. You can't bring that back out.
So, Filch obviously has a chip on his shoulder.
Yes.
He has to work at the most magical, amazing place ever, where kids who, a fourth of them, half of them, I don't know, who didn't even know that they were magical, poof, guess what? Mm-hmm. You're a wizard. And he has to hear that, like, every day. No wonder he's crabby, because it's always kind of intrigued me that he's in charge of keeping these files of kids that don't behave. Like, he's the caretaker, meaning, you know, he has to take care of these dirty floors and squeaky stairs or whatever. But why is he also the person who's in charge of just the misbehavior? Like, why is that also lumped into it? Or is it just something that makes him feel good?
I think it's something that makes him feel good because he finally has power over some of these
wizards. He literally has, like, drawers full of Fred and George Weasley reports.
Sure.
What are these reports for? Do you take them to Dumbledore? And do you think Dumbledore cares?
No, probably not.
No.
Probably not. But it gives him some sort of power. And also, I think it gives him a sense of fulfillment. No, he is not a wizard, but he still gets to participate in the wizarding community. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, sounds like some serious mom and dad issues that he's got. Like, that sounds like a lot of therapy. So much therapy. He don't need quick spell. He needs a licensed social worker. All the copays.
Seriously.
For Filch.
Seriously.
I'm in on this. And I'm in on it for Filch because of what the author does to give him some real layering. Some actual... again, if you can describe a character to me without giving me their physical appearance, the job that they do, or an action that they take, that's a real character.
Yes.
If you don't do those three things, and if you can still tell me about that character...
I mean, we already knew a lot of that stuff about Filch.
Well, yeah, because we're readers. But we didn't know that he was a squib, number one. And we didn't know that he was trying to become magical.
Yes.
You didn't in all those things.
It's like willing it.
You can infer all of those things. You can now infer his insecurity. You can infer his perhaps self-loathing.
I wonder if squibs ever just say, you know what? I'm going to throw in the towel and be a muggle. Like, I can't do magic, so I might as well just go try my luck. Otherwise, I'm going to have to be a caretaker at Hogwarts and like take care after like these scrappy little kids. No way.
Yep.
I'm going to go be a dentist.
Go talk to Hermione's parents.
That's it.
But other than that, I'm kind of out on all the ghosts. Are you in on the ghosts? And if so, why, Mary?
I just find, as I said, I think the world building is quite interesting. There's just so many delicious layers that the author grants us in chapters like this. I think that the ghosts, you know, are so intertwined, and, you know, they play an important part later in the series. And it's just, it's fun to hear this. It's fun to think about roaming the halls of Hogwarts, mm-hmm. and what kind of sights and sounds you would hear. You know, I always laugh, too, at Harry's relationships with adults. And I think of Sir Nicholas as an adult, you know.
Yeah.
Like, even though he's a ghost. You know, how he just, like, vented to Harry, like, oh, all these things happened to me, and I was hit 45 times in the neck, and they won't let me do it, and rah, 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 rah. Harry, I just think, once again, is such an amazing, approachable person that whether it's Hagrid opening up to him, or Sir Nicholas, or whomever, like, people, no matter what their age, but particularly if they're seen as an outsider, Ron, for example, they feel very comfortable opening up to Harry, whereas I think these are people who are otherwise guarded.
Yep.
And I like that from this chapter, that Sir Nicholas, who is a ghost in Hogwarts, who is kind of like a, not a scary ghost, but, you know, he kind of is scary because he's like half mostly decapitated. he opens up to Harry and he shows his vulnerability. And I just think that it allows us to enjoy that quality of Harry in a different way.
Sure. It's something that I think the trio do in this chapter that is quite different from, I think, the rest of the characters in this chapter. They go to the ghost party willing, just like, okay, we're going to go do the right thing. You know, Nearly Headless Nick helped out Harry.
Oh my God, Hermione is like, can I please take notes?
Yeah, right.
Like, I doubt anyone living actually gets to go to a Death
Right,
Day
and
party.
It shows their assumption of everybody, that everyone is, you know, equal. There's enough equity for everybody to just go there and enjoy, mm-hmm. and explore and see new things and find an opportunity to just learn and be a good human, if it means to a ghost, which I think is in contrast to Filch in this chapter. And I think it's also in contrast, obviously, to Draco at the end of this chapter. Draco is... And in the beginning of the book, too, he's calling Hermione a mudblood.
Yeah.
He's calling out at the end of the chapter that you're all next, mudbloods. Ugh. You're all next. Filch is the one who blames Harry for Mrs. Norris being petrified because of Harry's interaction mm-hmm. with Mrs. Norris and what may have been Harry's... getting even with Filch for getting detention and then noticing Quickspell. It's just an assumption that they quickly make, that these characters quickly make about the trio and everybody else that's apparently below them, whereas Harry and the trio are just there celebrating ghosts.
What a bummer that your Death Day anniversary is Halloween. It's like having your birthday on Halloween. You either like full on lean in and love it and mm-hmm. own it, or it's like, nobody's going to come to my party.
Yeah, right.
Because it's Halloween and we're at Hogwarts and it's quite magical. Okay, so we have this lovely voice, you know, saying rip, tear, kill, so hungry for so long. Yeah, this is a word to the wise. Pack snacks, okay?
You
may be down in the pipes for half a century, okay?
Give me all the gushers. I want all the fruit by the foot.
Twinkies, that's shelf stable.
Sure, I'll take some Swiss rolls.
There you go.
I'm in.
Kill, time to kill. Like, very hangry. I smell
blood.
He needs
some Little Debbie.
I smell blood. You know, that's a choice. That's a choice.
Hold on. I gotta do it.
Say it out loud.
And then, yes, we get the Chamber of Secrets has been opened. Enemies of the air, beware. And ye, the faint of heart... This is where the Harry Potter series takes a turn.
For the dark.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, in this area of book two, there is, you know, death, kill, tear apart, blood coming for you. You know, this is where, like, okay, children... Children have something to be fearful of.
Sure.
And granted, like before, it was all like chess and fun. And until we got to the very end, like it was just kind of this spooky woo boogeyman thing.
Yep.
But this is where things start to get a little bit more real. And it's always an interesting conversation that we have with our friends who have kids. Like, when do you delve into the chapter?
Right.
Go into the Chamber of Secrets? And this is where it starts.
And it's not a coincidence, Mary, either, that it starts here. This is the beginning of the second act of mm-hmm. this book. This is when things finally get into motion. We've done all of the introductory stuff. We've done most of the expository stuff that we need for the rest of the book. And now it's, okay, let's get into gear. Here's the inciting incident for the rest of for the rest of the book. We are now beginning here. And again, as the child who is reading this or as the reader is reading this gets older or a little bit more mature, so does the story. So it's fitting that we have the basilisk at the beginning of the second act saying, rip, tear, kill, let's blood, all that stuff, because the reader has grown more mature, as has the story. The writing in that final part is genuinely scary.
Agreed.
It's genuinely foreboding.
Until Malfoy arrives.
Right, right. Then it becomes a joke a little bit, you know. And like,
it doesn't become a joke. It just like snaps you back, like, he's still here.
Yeah, he still is the freak. But that's what I mean by a joke. Like, he's a joke. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you mudbloods a neck. It's like, okay, shut up.
There's no shock. It's, you know, I think that Tom Felton, the actor who portrays Draco in the movies, made Draco a bit more human to us as readers. I think when we read book Draco, you just, I mean, you can't not hate him.
Right.
You know?
Because he sucks.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, I'm reading the illustrated edition this book. And this, the artwork in the illustrated edition has been my favorite of the entire series, of the two books that I've read so far. And like my favorite one so far, here, you know what? I'll even, for those of you who are listening on the podcast app, I'm sorry, you are not going to get the benefit of seeing this. However, you can go to YouTube and see it. That's Mary. That's not me. And that's me. But I got Mary's face in the way. So you know what we're going to do? You know, we're gonna go back to the two shot, and then we're gonna do a split shot. There we go. This artwork right here is just the best. This is the headless, you know, horsemen or whatever they are, the headless hunters or whatever they are, the group that Nick wants to join. I love this artwork. It's just so gorgeous, and all the pages all have black backgrounds. It reminds me of Batman, the animated series, because the animated series was one of the few cartoons that was drawn, hand-drawn.
This whole chapter is all black pages?
Most of it.
That's cool.
Batman, the animated series was hand-drawn, and it was hand-drawn on black paper.
What?
It wasn't hand-drawn on white paper.
Order of the Phoenix, Darkman.
So much emo Order of the Phoenix. I really like the artwork in this chapter. It is stunningly gorgeous. So if you do ever get a chance, do go out and purchase the illustrated versions of these books. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever local bookstore, Amazon that you got.
Local bookstore is preferable.
Yes, I would agree. And check them out, because they give you such a cool insight into the story and to a vision that the movies give you, but not in such detail. I really, really, really liked it. So, another thing that we find out too is that even in the ghost world, there are prejudices, there are rules, there's a whole social structure that you don't know about yet. You haven't discovered, and you're discovering as it goes along, but like there's a whole social structure within the ghost community. Even like Moaning Myrtle, who is so insecure and obviously is getting made fun of constantly, saying that she's spotty, and she's got zits or whatever, and she's fat, and like that's what she's saying about herself. It's funny to think that even when you die, your insecurities go with you, and the social structures still go with you.
And these people chose to be ghosts, which is crazy. Ghosts can only be wizards.
Really?
In this fandom, yeah. Ghosts can only be wizards, and they have to make that choice in the moment of death if they want to be a ghost or to move on in their life.
Yep. Wow. Interesting.
Yep.
Very interesting. Okay.
You and I can't be ghosts, Blake.
Nope.
Because
I'm Batman and you are Wonder Woman. All right, Marvin, are you ready to get into the... Oh, you have anything else to say about this chapter?
No, I do not.
Okay. You want to do the different perspective?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Holy cricket. You're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And You are?
You want me to do it or you do it?
I feel like you would do it well.
Okay, I'm going to be Nearly Headless Nick.
Because
all I want to do is just join this social circle.
Yep.
I just want to be friends.
That's it, man.
And you're telling me that I can't hang out with you and do the hunts and all that other stuff because yep. I got a quarter inch of skin hanging on my head?
Rules are rules.
Why can't I just rip the head off?
That's, you know, this is how we roll.
And all I want to do is just be your friend, bro. Mm-hmm. Why can't you just be my friend? I got some cool things going on. I'm making friends with Harry Potter. Who are you? What
Harry
do you got?
Harry freaking Potter.
Still have to get that drop. But am I so low that I have to make friends with Harry Potter? That I have to make friends with humans? Why can't I? Why is it something wrong with me that I can't be cool with the other ghosts? Is it wrong with me that I'm the only ghost I'm cool with is Peeves? And Peeves is like sucks. So, you know, he's over there doing.
He's so lonely.
I just want to have a friend, man.
He's a Gryffindor, and it's like we do need some other people in our lives.
I'm brave. I'm cool. I'm the head of Gryffindor. What are you? You sit in a toilet all day. Get out of here.
Go, get out of go here, slash please come to my party because I don't have any friends.
Maybe we can go back to the toilet together, huh? Shall we?
Morning Myrtle. I mean, she's a kid, but...
They're ghosts. No, it don't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Screw. I mean, who cares about all these people?
Okay.
And I just want to be cool. I'm Gryffindor. I'm the head of Gryffindor.
See, I don't think you can do Gryffindor well because, you know, you are what you are.
That's absolutely true. All right. Shall we share our house?
Do we have any questions from our friends?
Yes, that's actually a good one. Let's get into the questions. So everybody watching us live, this is now the time to pose your questions for us. Please go ahead and give us a lightning bolt emoji ahead of the question. And if you are listening to us on the podcast app, you can send some emails to us and we will answer them either in the next episode or the episode after which we received your email. So, Mary, you ready to do some listener questions?
Sure I am.
Let's get it done.
Oh, Miles here.
Okay, so we actually do have some emails first.
What?
So let's go through those.
Thank you guys for emailing. And for those of you who haven't sent an email yet, remember, you can email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. And we would love your questions to either be themed in the Harry Potter universe or particularly towards the chapter.
Yes. All right. So the first email comes from Anita. She says, I'm listening to the Potterverse Chapter 5, and you were discussing why Snape gets so angry about Harry being famous. I think it's because Harry is famous for something that led to Lily's death. I think on top of his hatred for James and Harry looking like him, Snape might blame Harry for Lily dying because if she had not protected Harry, Voldemort would have let her live. Just some thoughts. Love the podcast, Anita. Marvin, thoughts?
Oh, man. Oh, man. I mean, he was going to kill her no matter what, I think. I think Voldemort just doesn't care.
Yeah, I don't think he does either.
I'm going to kill you.
I think she's
dead. But I appreciate that because exactly, she sacrificed herself for Harry.
Yes. Okay. Next one comes from Laura. Laura says, hey, Mary and Blake, love the podcast, but behind because I'm a second grade teacher in 2020.
Hey.
Oh, girlfriend.
Thank you. Thank you for your work.
Yes, thank you. And she says she's a Hufflepuff with a list of reasons why Hufflepuff is underrated. Mary? Do you want to read it or shall I?
You can, Blake, because okay. I think it's actually better for you to read it.
Number one, the author has said that her favorite house is, in fact, Hufflepuff.
Word.
And then why does she treat it so poorly and just treat it like it's basically on the bottom of the ocean floor, tied and anchored down to the sea level?
Tell us how you really feel.
Two, Hufflepuff encompasses all the traits of the houses. If you're a combination, then the Huff house is for you. Luckily, I'm not a combination. I am just Slytherin because I'm amazing. And number three, Slytherin and Hufflepuff make the best friendships because we bond over loyalty. Mm. We Puffs are friendly, but we will come for you if you mess with our people. Since we're a Puff, you won't see it coming. That's because Puffs are basically insignificant. That's okay, though. It's fine. And number four, in the Battle of Hogwarts, there were two complete houses that fought, Gryffindor and Hufflepuff. Gryffindor did it for the glory, but Hufflepuff did it because it was right. Hope you have a wonderful week, and thank you for helping me make my week a little more magical. You're welcome. You are welcome, Laura. Thank you so much for writing in. Okay.
Caitlin says, what part of Hogwarts would you haunt if you were a ghost?
Oh, that's a good one. Oh. I think it would have to be Defense Against the Dark Arts. I would have to be in that room all the time.
Can you imagine like trying to learn about these scary things and how to defeat them and to keep having a ghost in there? No, thanks.
Okay, let's see. Allie, do you think the movies have made us slightly less tolerant of books that indulge in rich character and world development? That's a great question.
That is a wonderful question.
Lavin, I will cede the floor to you on this particular.
I love the richness. You're the one that's hating on aspects.
Oh, no, no. I love richness, but I don't like...
You don't like ghosts.
I'm out on the ghosts, and I think that it is a little... it's a little self-aggrandizing for the ghosts. I think it's just... It's something that she's writing in to give us a little bit of better sense of the world, but... The world that she's creating with the ghosts and how they're doing all this stuff is kind of insignificant, except for
we'll see, Blake.
Except for two parts in the series that I can think of that are significant to what Harry is exploring.
We'll see.
Kyle Ann says, "Why would Myrtle choose to stay at Hogwarts?"
That's a great question. Part of me thinks it's so she can pick on people who picked on her.
That's a good one. I like that. Paula says, do you think it's condescending of Dumbledore to have Squib Filch scrubbing floors for a living when you can literally vanish messes with magic?
Yes.
Is it condescending or is he just giving him a job?
Listen, they've got magic for that. Okay. He could do other things. I mean, maybe Filch likes it.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. Veronica says, Mary, do you feel an urge to smack Blake, Hermione, like upside the head every time he says that he's amazing? Yes.
That's the point.
Susan, the site to be sorted, you type in BuzzFeed Harry Potter sorted and you should be able to find it.
Yes. Blake hates on stuff that doesn't seem to have a point.
True.
That is, I think, fair. And again, a point can be illumination. It can be character illumination. It can give me the small little details like Filch. Does Filch reading Quickspell and the whole advertisement of Quickspell really matter to the plot of the Chamber of Secrets? I think it enhances
the character of Filch.
That's what I'm saying. It illuminates that character. In terms of the Death Day party and all the stuff, I'm out on it. I don't think that illuminates anything of the ghosts other than almost. Like, I think that's cool, but everything else I'm kind of out on.
Okay.
Everyone's saying, "Oh, Blake, you're so wrong. Significant versus just fun." and Rebecca Ann says, "Unless he thinks they have a point." Yes, you're right. Exactly.
And Tammy says, Myrtle later says she haunted Olive Hornsby for a while until Olive complained, so she went back to Hogwarts. So it wasn't her first choice, of course.
Yeah, interesting.
All right, do you want to share your results?
Yes, let's do it. Let me bring them up real quick. Hold on 1 second.
So I took this quiz 2 times.
Okay.
Okay. My first time, it said that this is the first time I've ever, I know, this is why I had to share. I was like, something might be wrong. This is the first time I've ever taken a quiz that said that I'm Hufflepuff. It said I was 35% Hufflepuff, 32% Gryffindor, 22% Ravenclaw, and 11% Slytherin. It starts off with, you're undeniably a Hufflepuff, but you have some strong Gryffindor qualities. So I took the quiz again.
Yep.
And I was like, all right, that's not right.
Let's start tailoring my answers.
No, it's
to
not
what
that
I want.
Tailor. No, it's not that I want to tailor it, but okay. Like, did I not read every option? Because that's something I do.
Oh, you definitely do that.
I'm like, A looked good.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, whatever.
A looks good again. Okay, here we go. So when I took it again, you ready for this?
Yes, let's got it.
38% Gryffindor. Bam! Just like that. 25% Ravenclaw.
Oh, whoa.
19% Slytherin.
Whoa.
Only 18% Hufflepuff.
Oh.
I don't like this quiz. Honestly, yeah. I don't. Okay, it says, you will ultimately place in Gryffindor. The Sorting Hat seriously considered putting you in Ravenclaw. You're a naturally born leader. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. You're intelligent, but you acknowledge that there are more important things in life. Your slight compatibility with the Slytherin house suggests a determination to succeed. though not at the expense of traits from your more dominant houses. So I'm like cool with some of it, but I honestly feel like I'm a lot more puff than those other two.
Shame.
How about you, Blake?
All right, you ready for this? Blake, you are 56% Slytherin, 24% Gryffindor, 17% Ravenclaw, and with a paltry 3% Hufflepuff.
Three
fracking percent. You are relentless in your pursuit of success, making you a perfect fit for Slytherin, but your willingness to take risks makes you somewhat compatible with the typical traits of a Gryffindor house.
What up?
People who don't know you well are often intimidated by your reserved demeanor, and you have very few close friends. You are loyal to few and definitely prioritize personal success over close relationships. Your slight compatibility with Ravenclaw house hints at an appreciation for knowledge and wisdom, though they are not priorities for you. Mary, how do you think that describes me?
Yep.
Yes. Bam.
Just like that. A winner.
Oh, no. You know what actually this deserves?
Makes me want to shout.
So, all you puffs out there.
You want to know one of the...
Go get your shine box.
One of the questions that I changed the second time around, and it got me more Gryffindor. It said, you would be most hurt if a person called you A, weak, B, ignorant.
Yep.
C, unkind, and D, boring.
So?
And at first I answered unkind. And then the more I thought about it...
Well, so that's a puff answer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, you know, I actually don't care if some people in my life call me unkind. Because I've been unkind to a couple of people in my life that I meant to be unkind to.
Yes.
But you know what really rubbed me the wrong way?
What?
When someone said I was as bland as white toast. When I was on television and I got this comment. Now, mind you, being on TV, you get like a bajillion emails about random stuff. People love to pick on female newscasters.
Yes, absolutely.
What they're wearing, what they said. I mean, the amount of emails that I would get over a dress was just mind-boggling. But one guy used to pick on me on a daily basis. Taylor. That was his name. Was Taylor.
Not great, Bob.
Taylor. And he had the guitar.
Taylor.
Let's not remember his last name our own sake.
That's true.
But, he would just like write like, Mary looks terrible in gray. Mary did this. And then the one that hurt me the most was Mary's as bland as white toast.
Yeah. Yep.
And it rubbed me the wrong way. So when I saw this, I was like, I am most mad if someone says I'm boring. There are a couple people that I have not been kind to because they have not been kind to me. And if they were to whine and be like, but Mary wasn't kind, I'd be like, you deserved it.
I wonder if he liked your boots.
Probably not.
Oh, you should just have a t-shirt with boots on it. In the heart.
No thanks.
Ellen here says, it's fine. We don't want you in Hufflepuff anyway, Blake. I'll be in the kitchen listening to Kelly and eating cake.
Doesn't kill you, makes it stronger.
Everyone's saying, wow, 3%. Whoa, 56% Slytherin? Yes. Rebecca asks, Mary, did you change your answers for the test? Mm.
I just changed like two. That was one of the ones that I changed because, as I said, when I got that answer, I was like, did I answer this all right or did I take it really quickly? So I'll be honest, I took the quiz the first time really quickly. Mm-hmm. And the second time I sat and I was like, what would really bother me?
Sure.
And having someone say that I was boring at my job would bother me.
Yep.
Oh my, like sometimes we've gotten iTunes reviews. There's one where someone told Blake to divorce me because
I
sound like a yapping dog. And it shouldn't bother me. Like, this is just a Joe Schmo on the internet, but it actually really bothered me.
Yeah, that was a rough one. I'll never forget Blake should divorce Mary because she sounds like a yapping dog. Those were legitimately word for word.
Yeah,
the comment.
People are mean.
Some people are wicked mean, bro.
Okay, let's wrap up the show on that happy matter. I mean, all we need is some black eyeliner and order the Phoenix, and we're good to go.
Let's see. Melissa says, part of me is happy that you aren't secretly puff. Boy, bye.
Yeah.
But part of me evilly wanted you to be there for all the crap talking.
No, he's not. I am not
Hufflepuff.
He does love some puffs. Many of our friends are puffs.
Yes, I do appreciate.
If not most of our friends.
I do appreciate some of the puffs.
Yeah.
I appreciate them.
Not some. Every puff you know you love.
We're at an arm's length.
Oh my gosh. On that note.
Like, you can come into my house and have a drink, but we ain't playing Game of Thrones Risk.
I'm out of tea.
All right, let's go. Oh, let's close this bad boy out,
yes,
shall
please.
We? Let's do it.
Thank you again for taking the time to listen to the Potterverse. If this brought joy to your life, if it brought some Lumos in the time of Nox, please head on over to your podcast app and leave us a written review with 5 stars. It means so very much to us.
And if you find anything that we do here of value, go to jointhenerdclan.com, an amazing community of fellow nerds who are there talking about Harry Potter, Hamilton, Outlander, you know, The Crown, Midnight Sun. We got a whole ton of things going on over there. And everybody is just so warm and welcoming, just as much as I'd be welcoming to fellow Slytherins, I would say. Not so much the Puffs.
Goodness gracious. I have to live with this gentleman.
Hey, one more patron away from Mary's release of the songs that were Harry Potter remixes.
Inspired.
And only 11 more for me to get in there. Hufflepuff t-shirt. So come on, Puffs.
Sing Huggy Huggy Hogwarts.
Or whatever you guys choose. Whatever you guys choose, I'll do. All of it.
You should have him read, like, the history of Helga Hufflepuff by Pottermore.
Oh, my God. I'd rather eat my hat.
Nope. And do it in a cheerful Puff way. For that matter, my name's Mary.
My name is Blaine.
Mischief managed.